appreciate that good song, Miss Rebecca. Amen. I want to go right to Luke chapter 15 this morning. I just felt the urgency this morning to preach. It's amazing sometimes it seems more stronger than others, but God knows. Amen. And I appreciate that song, don't you, that God is our refuge this morning. And our hope this morning is not in man. It's not in our, I thank God for our president, but it's not in our president. It's not in our economy this morning. But our hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Every hope that I have is anchored in the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, if you'll stand with us for the reverence and reading of God's Word. You know, it amazes me about the Word of God, how that this is a chapter that I don't know how many sermons down through the years that I've preached from this text, but it seems like you just cannot... You can't exhaust any of the Word of God, but it's amazing to me the freshness of the Word of God, how that you can go back to it time and time again, and the Lord will speak to you in a different manner each time, and are just thankful for the Bible this morning. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, and notice with us here in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you'd help us. I ask you to speak to us and speak through us this morning. I ask this morning, Father, that you would speak to every heart. Lord, we ask that you would get the glory and the honor that is due to your name. May we not say or do anything that would draw attention to ourselves. But, oh God, I pray that we would see him who is invisible this morning. I pray that he that hath an ear would hear what the Spirit would say to the church and to those that are lost this morning. I ask that the gospel would go forth and, Lord, that you would turn the light on in the minds of them that believe not. And may the glorious gospel of Christ shine unto them. May they be born again this morning by the grace of God. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of another year. God, you've been good to us and better to us than what we deserve. We glorify you and we magnify you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice with me in these two verses of Scripture, what is most interesting to me about these two verses is that we see two totally different crowds. There's a crowd in verse number 1, and then there's another crowd in verse number 2. Now, I want you to notice these crowds, because the crowd in verse number 1, we note that we see a rough crowd. The Bible said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." This is a rough crowd. The Bible says that they are publicans and they are sinners. Now, when you think about this crowd, that this is not a religious crowd. This is not a crowd that society would want to pay a lot of attention to this morning. But they are publicans. They are sinners. They are people that are looked down upon both by society and by religion. But you'll notice something about this rough crowd. Notice that they are longing. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Then drew near unto him." Now, this crowd may be rough, but they are longing. And they're not just longing for anything or anyone, but notice the Bible said there that they drew near unto him. They are longing for Jesus. I want to say this morning, no matter how rough a crowd may be, anytime a sinner starts longing for Jesus, they're headed in the right direction. Amen? And so they are longing. And I notice that they're large. Notice the Bible said, "Then drew near unto him." Look at that word, all the publicans and the sinners. Now, we're not just talking about a few of them. We're not talking about just a selected gathering, but the Bible said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners." And I want to stop and say, I like the word "all," don't you? We do believe in a whosoever will gospel. We believe that Jesus died for all. Amen? That he died for every man, woman, boy, and girl. We believe that all can be saved. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance this morning. And so I see this rough crowd. They're large. It's a large crowd that's coming to Jesus. They're longing. They're drawing near unto him. And then I notice that they're labeled here. The Bible calls them publicans and sinners, as we've already mentioned. That's a rough crowd when you think about it. This is a sinful crowd this morning.
these amongst this crowd would be thieves and robbers and adulterers and all types of different people in society, that, and maybe the upper salon of people that we would look at, but still yet, it is a rough crowd. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus will take anybody. It doesn't matter how rough they are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which side of the tracks they come from. I'm telling you this morning, go ahead and let the world label us. But I'm telling you, God will take you just as you are this morning. And this crowd, they're labeled. But notice they're listening. The Bible says here, then drew near unto him all the publican sinners. Look at this. For to hear him. Amen. Now this isn't a crowd coming just to be healed. And this isn't a crowd just coming to get. But this is a crowd that came because they wanted to listen to what Jesus had to say. Sinner, if I had anything to say to you this morning, it would be this. You need to listen to the Word of God. You need to listen to what Jesus has to say to you. Amen. Amen. See, what the devil uses many times in church and other places as well is he uses the tool of distraction. A person can get up and walk out of a sanctuary, and you know what? Everybody will start doing this. Like we've never seen anybody walk out of church. I've seen more people walk out of church than I can ever count. Amen. Some were happy, some were sad, some were mad. Amen. But people get up and people just watch, and it's just an automatic reaction. I'm not fussing. I'm just saying that's the way it is. It don't take much to deviate our minds. It doesn't take much to distract us. And so Satan will use just any tool. He'll let your phone. If you've got your phone in church, I understand if you got a sick loved one, you may need one. But some people, listen, they carry it every service, and it's amazing the messages that'll probably come through and things that'll light up. You know why the devil does that? You let it come down to an invitation. I'm telling you, every time you preach on hell, you let it come down to an invitation. I promise you, if there's a baby in the house, they won't cry until invitation comes. You say, why is that? I'm not blaming that baby. I'm telling you, that's what the devil does. He wants to do anything to disrupt our hearing. He don't mind you coming to church. He just don't want you to listen when you get here. It's amazing, people, how that many times they hear, but they don't listen. This morning, you know what God wants me to do, and I'm doing the preaching, but he still wants me to listen. He don't want me to be up here shelling out information and not paying attention myself. What you need, I need this morning. Amen? The same sermon I preach to you, I need to hear it myself. Woe to the preacher that would preach a sermon and not listen to the very sermon that God gives him. Amen? I'm saying this morning, this is a rough crowd, but they're listening. And then they're lost, aren't they? This crowd does not know Jesus Christ. You say, now, Brother Gravely, how do you know this crowd is lost? Well, every one of them's lost. In verse 1 and in verse 2, the reason we know that is because Jesus gives a parable about the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son, because he's driving home the point they were lost, but thank God they could be found. There's a rough crowd. And then in verse number 2, there we see a religious crowd. The Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Both crowds, notice here, this religious crowd, notice their ministry. They have a ministry and they're lost. Can you imagine that? They're Pharisees and they're scribes, meaning that they're religious. They're involved in the religious activities of the day. They were involved in the synagogue. They were involved in the law of Moses. These people were stooped in religion. They wore the Word of God woven into their clothing. They memorized the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the books of the law. They could quote the scriptures. They knew the scriptures forward and backward, but yet they didn't obey the scriptures. You see, it's not necessarily how much we know, it's how much we listen to and we obey. This crowd, listen, they had a ministry. They ministered in the community, but they were lost. See, you can be involved in church, you can be active in church, but all the works, religious works, don't make you saved. I see their ministry. Notice their not only their ministry, but notice their murmuring. The Bible said that the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. Now, to murmur means to whisper a complaint. They whispered amongst themselves. I want to tell you, that's probably a very known attribute about religious but lost people. I'm not saying everybody that murmurs is lost. But I'm saying people that are religious, but they're lost, they're known for their murmuring. They're known for not being able to ever be satisfied with what goes on in the church. Doesn't matter what church they join. It doesn't matter how good the church is. People can be getting saved. God can be blessing. But they're just, it's just who they are. They're always going to murmur. They're always going to have a complaint. Now, you hear me and hear me well this morning. I wouldn't doubt anybody's salvation because I don't know their heart. But there's been people down through the years that have murmured so much as a church member that I've finally come to the conclusion they're not backslid. They never slid forward. Amen? I stopped praying for them that way, and I just started praying, God, save their soul. Put them under deep Holy Ghost conviction. You say, are you praying for some now? You better believe it. Amen. I'm telling you, when people, all they ever do is murmur about the church and murmur about them, people are, now listen, you know what goats do? They're always fighting against everything. It doesn't matter what happens. They just murmur and murmur and murmur and murmur. They're always whispering under their breath something. I'm going to tell you what, they may be as religious as the day is long. And I'm telling you, when you get born again, the Lord will put something down deep in the recesses of your soul. You'll love the brethren. You'll love the Word of God. You'll love the church. Everything ain't perfect, but I'll tell you one thing. You'll have a love one for another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. Well, aren't we having a good time this morning? I'm telling you this morning as your pastor. There's people, I say, God, if I'm wrong, I'll be glad to get to heaven and find out they made it. But until you convict me or change my mind, Lord, would you put them under conviction and save their soul? They're never happy. They're never satisfied. They're miserable people. That was this crowd. Pharisees, scribes, knew the Bible. But they never had no joy because they didn't know Jesus. I'm preaching this morning on what sinners have to say about the Savior. Because we not only see their ministry and their murmuring, but notice their message. The Bible says, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, here's their message. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now they meant that as a criticism, but really it's a compliment. You know, God can even use a murmur sometimes. Somebody go off and say something about the church and somebody said, did you hear what so-and-so said about you? When I hear what they said, I said, well, praise God. What more could be said about our church? Well, I tell you what, a man said one time, I wouldn't go to church down there no more. Every time I go to that church, that preacher gets up and preaches, and I feel real bad when he gets up and preaches. I said, well, hallelujah. Because if you can go to church every week in and week out, and all you ever do is feel good about yourself, I'm telling you, you're in the wrong place, Jack. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, ain't none of us living that clean. Ain't none of us living that good. Amen? I'm telling you, listen, if you can go to church and it never bothers you, nothing never gets under your skin, you never get condemned about anything, you need to check up from the neck up. Amen? There's something going on, my friend. Something's wrong. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I thank God for old-time religion. Amen? And when they say, you don't want to go down to that church, they're a bunch of holy rollers. I say, hallelujah. That's a compliment, a criticism, but it's really a compliment. You don't want to go down to that church. I'll tell you, the women shout down there, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. You don't want to go down to that church. Amen. And because you never know what's going to happen down there. They may shout it out. They may preach it out. They may blow it out. I say hallelujah. Don't you thank God when people begin to criticize and in reality, it winds up being a compliment. Hallelujah. I'm like, would you tell 20 more people about that? Would you go tell 20 more people, oh, they're just King James only down there? Would you go tell 20 more people, oh, you know, down there, you know, people dress like they're going to church and we don't want to dress like it at church. We live it every day. Amen. Well, you know, down there, they're a bunch of old fogies down there at that church. I mean, they hadn't changed with the times. They hadn't got up with the times. I say hallelujah. I say amen. I say keep the hate mail coming. Somebody say amen right there. Just keep on telling it like it is. Sometimes that crowd will help you out a little bit. Amen. Well, they sure did in this text. Because they said, this man receiveth sinners. What better could be said to a bunch of publicans and sinners than this man receiveth sinners? I want you to think about their message. It's a short message. So is my sermon this morning. It's a short message. Look at that little phrase, this man. Look at their message. Receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Brother Gravely, why is that such a great message? Well, because it reveals his identity. This man. They pointed Jesus out. Now, I don't care if you're for him or against him. Anytime you're pointing Jesus out to other sinners, that's always a good thing. Amen? They said, this man. They pointed him out. Hey, let's think about this man for just a moment. He's unlike any other man that lived upon this earth. Now, he was just as much man as you and I, but yet he was more than a man, wasn't he? He is the Son of God, meaning that he is the Son of God and he is the Son of Man. That means there was the human side of Christ, and then there is the supernatural side of Christ. He was God in the flesh when he walked upon this earth, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. John said it like this in chapter 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and the same was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And thank God the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world. The Bible said he was in this world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But a little bit later on in that chapter, he said, but as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm telling you, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that we, the sons of men, could become the sons of God. Isn't it good to know that you know this man? He's a holy man. He's a heavenly man. He was a humble man. He became obedient unto death. He was a helpful man. He helped everybody that ever came in his pathway. Jesus is more lovely than 10,000. I'm talking about this man this morning. They didn't know this man, but thank God we do. We that are saved, I'm glad I know this man. I'm talking about he was more than a man. I'm talking about a man that could walk on water and a man that could calm the storm. I'm talking about a man that could step in the fire and walk through the fire. I'm talking about a man, I thank God, that could tell the sun when to shine and could put the moon to bed in the morning. I'm talking about a man that knows every star and he knows it by name. I'm talking about a man that sits high on a holy throne this morning, and he ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. This man this morning, his identity needs no introduction. His identity, once he steps in the room, he makes his presence known. Amen. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus, and their message is that they revealed who he was. This man. I ask you this question this morning. Do you know this man? Or you like the crowd in verse 2. All you know is religion. You're like a Pharisee, a scribe. You know about the works of God, but you don't know him personally. I'm going to tell you something about religion. It's boring. Is that true? I was at a place, I can't say where I was at the other day, but I was with another preacher and we were there to give the gospel. A religious place. And I walked through and I looked at all the beauty of that building. But what I also saw was not only the beauty. Our building is nothing in comparison. Marble floors, gold, statues. We don't have anything like that. But I walked through there and I thought, as I looked around, I thought how empty. All this beauty. You see, that's what the devil has to do. He has to make his buildings so beautiful, so majestic, because they're just empty inside. Just like the heart of every sinner. Alcohol can never fill your soul. Perversion can never fill your soul. Material things can never feel satisfied. What I'm talking about, your soul. You come in our building this morning, and I'm thankful. We have a beautiful church, I believe. But we have sheetrock walls. We have carpet that needs replacing. We have pews It's a beautiful church. I love our church, and we keep it up. But if you're looking for gold, if you're looking for graven images this morning, if you're looking for something that just would wow you this morning on the building structure in and of itself, I'm sorry, that's not really what we're about. We're not about trimming everything out in gold. We're not about putting up graven images throughout to try to impress. Oh, no. I'm telling you, it's not the building that keeps drawing us. It's not the building that keeps us coming back service after service. You know what it is? It's this man. Amen. I'm telling you, when you come, you may not see a graven image, but thank God you can meet somebody who's alive and well. Thank God you can meet somebody that can change your life for time and eternity. I'm talking about this man. This place isn't special because of me, and it's not special because of you, but he's what makes this place for all these years, for almost 65 years, a place on the side of the road has drawn people from far and wide. Why? Because of this man this morning. It's his identity. And then not only does it reveal his identity, but it reveals his invitation. Notice what they said. This man receiveth sinners. What about that? I don't know about you, but that fires me up. This man, his identity, they point him out. They gave the invitation for him. Jesus is there. Publicans, sinners have drawn near to hear him. And the Pharisees, scribes, they stand up and said, this man, I want you to know something about this man. That's the worst thing you can tell sinners. I want to tell you something about this man. We got a real problem. Religion always has a problem with this man because he has an invitation. And the invitation is not come ye rich. It's not come ye wise. No, it's not come ye that are well known in society, ye fame. No, it's come all. Amen. It's come worst of the worst. It's come best of the best. But you got to see yourself the same. You see, the problem with this crowd in verse 2 is they were just as wicked as the crowd in verse number 1, but they couldn't see themselves like that crowd. But if you can ever live in verse number 1, you'll meet the man in verse number 2. You say, why? Because he received sinners. You think about it. Jesus, it's an open invitation. It was open then, and it's open now. The same thing they said about Jesus then is still true this morning. Morning in 2025, this man is still receiving sinners. I'm telling you, sinner, this morning, if you want to get in, if you want to be saved, all you got to do is come this morning. The Spirit and the bride say, come. There's an invitation that has been given and it's open. Hallelujah. Four of those columns in the tabernacle have no caps on them, and they represent Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because the gospel is still open to the whole world this morning. And I want to say this is an open invitation. It's an obvious invitation. I thought about this last night. Does this man really receive sinners? People wonder sometimes today, would God really save me? All you got to do is look in the Bible. You say, what do you mean? Well, just take a look. Jesus received a thief. Jesus received an adulterous woman. He received a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He received a blind man. He received a leper. He received a tax collector. I mean, you just keep on going down through there. In fact, I don't read anywhere in the Bible where anybody ever came to Jesus and he said, no, not you. No, he didn't say, no, not you. He said, no, not one. Amen. That means, my friend, every sinner can come this morning. I'm telling you, red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter if you were born in Russia or born in America. It doesn't matter if you're bond or free, wise or unwise, rich or poor. I'm telling you this morning, young or old, if you know you're lost and you know you're a sinner, I want to tell you there's an invitation that this man gives, and the invitation is this: he receives sinners this morning. You see, the problem in this text is not that Jesus is turning away men, but it's that men are turning away Jesus. The crowd in verse 2 could have come and could have got saved. But the reason they didn't get saved is because they turned away Christ. He never turned them away. Now, I cannot swallow the fact that some people believe that Jesus will save some and he'll not save others. I don't read that anywhere in his ministry.
That woman I preached about last week caught in the very act. Jesus could have killed her. He could have condemned her. But instead, he saved her. He could have killed me. He could have killed you. But instead, thank God he forgave us and he saved us. You said, preacher, would God really forgive me? Well, he forgave everybody that ever came to him in the Bible. I don't know why you'd be any different. He forgave a murderer. He forgave a thief. He forgave those who committed adultery. He never did condone what they did. But I'm telling you, the Lord will take you just the way you are this morning. That's the invitation. Read the invitation over and over. There's no stipulation. You say, but I'm young. He'll save you when you're young. You say, but I'm old. He'll save you when you're old. I've not lived long enough, or I've wasted too many years. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, this man receiveth sinners this morning. If you come this morning and say, Lord, would you receive me? I'm going to tell you the answer. It's yes. It's yes. It's yes. They revealed his identity. They revealed his invitation. And then finally, notice this. Their message revealed his intention. Notice the Bible said, this man receiveth sinners, and there's more. He don't just receive them, but he's got some intentions here. There's more to the story than him just accepting them. The Bible says he eateth with them. You know, this speaks of a place, doesn't it? Somewhere when sinners would come to Christ, Jesus would receive them, but he'd go home with them. It speaks of a place. You know, God don't just save you from hell. Thank God he'll go home with you. He don't just save you and leave you to yourself. He didn't them. The message was not only that he would receive them, he takes a step further. He gets personal. I don't know, and I probably shouldn't ask, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. You ever been someplace or to someone's house to eat and you wasn't real sure about it? Don't raise your hand, please. And don't act super spiritual like you're, you know. I mean, unless you're just nasty, then you probably don't care. But when you're traveling and you're preaching and you're going different places and people say, hey, so-and-so in the church, they're going to cook a meal. My first thing runs through my mind is, Lord, I hope they're clean. I hope they don't have dogs inside. And my wife, she's got the mentality, she's like, well, you know, if we were on the mission field, I said, we're not. That's the point. We're not on the mission field. If we were on the mission field, then it would be okay. But we're in America. Somebody say amen. I'm not asking for a seven-course meal. I just want a clean plate and a clean fork. And I don't care if it's a hot dog. Don't wrap it with a dog hair. Somebody say amen right there. I'm just wanting it. I mean, you make me a bologna sandwich. Just you know, remove all other things. Amen. Y'all know what? I lost half of you when I said that. But you know it's the truth. But Jesus, no stipulations. He'd go home with anybody that wanted to go home, would take him home. He had no place to lay his head, but he would accept an invitation from a sinner. You know, I'm glad he didn't just save us. I'm glad he went home with us. The day I got saved, I was satisfied when I got up that I was no longer going to hell. What I didn't know, he wasn't satisfied. He said, I'm going to go home with you. He went home with me that day. And he's been going home with me every day. And if you're saved, he's been going home with you. He had intentions that I did not have. I just didn't want to go to hell. But he had more intentions than that. It involves a place. It involves provision. There's food involved. No one ever gets hungry around Jesus. He fed the poor. Even in the middle of the desert when they followed him out and the multitude had grown faint and they had nothing hardly to eat at all but just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus, just like he never sent anybody away lost, he never sent anybody away hungry. He never sent anybody away wanting for anything spiritual. He never sent anybody away wanting for anything. He provided for them. And I want to tell you, in these years of being saved, I thank God this morning that I can raise my hand, and if you're saved, you can raise
raise your hand and say, the Lord has taken good care of me. He's not only saved us from hell, but he's provided better for us than we ever deserved. If all I had he took away, the songwriter said, I'd still have to say, God, you've been good to me. I may not know where my next meal's coming from, but I do know who's setting the table, and I do know who's going to put the food on the table. Thank God it'll be him. Hallelujah.
Had a man years ago threaten me if I didn't do something that he would take his tithes and go somewhere else. And he said, my tithes weekly is what your paycheck is. And it was. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, you don't sign my paycheck. God signs my paycheck. And I still believe that. And he signs your paycheck. That company is only a means that God has given you. What if they fire me tomorrow? I don't know what will happen. But somehow, somewhere, some way, God will put food on your table. You might get down to a handful of meal in the bottom of a barrel, but it'll waste not. Amen. You might get down to a cruise oil, but it will not fail. I'm telling you, it might take two birds putting steak on the table. I'm telling you, you might get down to two sticks, but God will still build a fire. I'm glad this morning my Heavenly Father knows how to take care of me. He knows how to take care of you. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but thank God I know who holds tomorrow, and he will take care of us. He's been good to us all these years. And I'm telling you, God, if we got to live under a bridge, it'll be the best bridge in the county. I promise you that much. And because God doesn't do nothing halfway, he knows how to provide for us this morning. And it speaks of passion. Why would Jesus go home and eat with sinners? It wasn't because he wanted their food. It was because he desired their fellowship. I think the greatest sin that we can ever commit as Christians is to not fellowship with God, because he so wants to fellowship with us. And this morning, if you're lost, I want to tell you a simple message, just a simple message. Jesus receives sinners. Getting saved is not complicated. It is not hard. If you know you're a sinner and you know you need to be saved and you believe that Jesus Christ, his death on the cross and the blood that he shed at Calvary, if you believe the Word of God and you believe that the death of Jesus on the cross and the blood that he shed at Calvary, if you believe that it will wash your sins away, if you'll just come and receive him, he'll receive you. You know, there was a lady in this church who's in heaven this morning, and she told her testimony was this. She said, I made getting saved so hard. She said, I complicated it so much. She said, I'd go down that altar and squall and pray and squall and pray, and she said, I was just looking for something that wasn't there. She said, finally, I got so sick and tired, and that's really where you got to get. She said, I got so sick and tired. She said, one day over in that building, she said, I just come down the aisle and threw up both hands and said, Lord, if I go to hell, I'll go to hell trusting Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And she said, before I got to the altar, I felt this overwhelming peace. She said, God rested it that day. That's what he was wanting. And I'm telling you, sinner, that's all you have to do is come down this aisle and say, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I trust you to take me to heaven. You say, Brother Gravely, would that work? Well, that's the message. If you'll receive him, he'll receive you, because he receives sinners. And this morning as we stand, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.